Do you want to help kids connect with God more now? Yeah. It is. There's something about just sharing stories that's like, I love this stuff. Like, it's great. Like, this is so important. And we do, just from telling stories, it is a really powerful tool that we have. And so how do we tell these stories well? One of the things that I think is really helpful is that we tell stories in a way that doesn't, I'm going to use a word that's not real, so that's not going to help you. I was going to say amazing eyes, but that is not going to help. It's really important that we don't try to make children's faith amazing. And it's something that we say a lot. It's amazing this happened. Isn't it remarkable? Isn't it? It's not. That is normal base level of anybody who's walking with God. Because that's what it is. The more we say it's amazing, the more we're saying that it's unique and different and unusual. And I want it to be completely usual. That is what we rarely go, and then my friend, he talked to God and God helped him at work. Isn't it amazing? We're like, yes, that's just what Jesus purchased for us on the cross. Hurrah! I mean, it's amazing for everybody, I guess. It's this sense of de-idealizing children's faith and saying that it's not unique, special, or more pure. It is a beautiful thing because God is a graceful God who walks with all people, regardless of their ability to talk or understand. You know, if you've ever held a baby who's sick and prayed over that baby, there is a sense of God's presence there that isn't required in words. It's God's gift. And there is something really powerful about saying that. And parents don't know that. When parents have babies and toddlers, they think, I don't know what to do with them. So I just won't do anything with them until they reach an age where I can explain it to them. And that disempowers them. I wrote a book called Babies and Toddlers, Nurturing the Spiritual Life of Your Small Person. I don't know what I called it. And it's all about people who are brand new to faith or new to babies and just saying that you are spiritually significant in the life of your child now because God has all of his promises for your baby right now. And that is a powerful thing to say. And so we tell those stories not because it's amazing, but because it is another disciple who is meeting with Jesus, and that inspires me to meet with Jesus more. And so tell these stories as normal. I would really suggest you begin to drop them into sermons and drop them into conversations, not as look what happens with children and talking about children, but as a co-journeyer of God to say, like with this 9-year-old and the bully, to say, I was talking to my friend the other day, and with permission to share the story, I was talking to my friend the other day, and she was struggling with someone who was being just really cruel to her, and she was absolutely struggling. And it was something that, you know, she was really wanting God to stop, but instead God gave her a heart for this person who was just being cruel to her, and it was so challenging for me as a disciple to think, how often do I pray for my enemies? And I love that we have people of all ages here. You know, this disciple happened to be 9 who was telling me this story, but God is teaching something to everybody in here, and I've just learned something really significant from my friend there. And you drop that in, then people hear the ministry first and then hear the age rather than the age then the ministry. Does that make sense? And so you learn how to tell stories in a way that makes people go, oh, that's on offer for kids, while also making them go, that's a real thing. That's a real discipleship thing. So tell stories that are like that. Empower their voices. If you've ever tried to interview a child on stage, it goes terribly. Have you ever had a kid who's like said this beautifully articulate story and then you get them on the stage and then they say none of those words? Oh, it's soul crushing. But as we've seen already, they're great on film. And so sometimes having families film stories or having families talk about what's going on with them is great, because then you can empower the voice of the child so people can hear from children themselves the insights they have and the stories they have without them having to be put on the spot. Or do things like we did here in congregations where you have everybody present. You know, turn to each other and say, you know, one thing that you found really hard in your life where God helped you. And then turn and tell stories. And you'll be fascinated what comes out of a 10-year-old's mouth or a 5-year-old's mouth and a 68-year-old's mouth, and they all hear it from each other. And so how can we empower stories and voices so that people and parents can become aware of not only what is on offer for kids, but what it looks like in the lives of children? That's going to motivate them. Does that make sense? Great. Tell stories. And if you don't have the stories, well, then you know your next step then, don't you? You got to talk to more kids. Got to talk to more families. You got to get involved. If you don't have those stories, then we're not talking to enough people. So grab those stories. The second thing in vision that people need is they need truth. And parents believe, parents and carers and grandparents, all of these people are thrown in there. They believe a lot of lies. They believe a lot of things. And every culture is different, not just nationwide, but I think every region, every area, every dynamic of people that you're working with have different lies that they're believing about faith. And you'll run into them. It could be that the church is the best place for my kid. It could be sometimes that children's ministry is the most important thing in a child's life. And you're like, it's important, but it's not quite that. So I need to get to that heart of that, what is going on underneath there, and I need to speak truth. So the truths that I have found really significant, I think there's a whole chapter of on this in it in the Green Book, It Takes a Church to Raise a Parent. But those are the truths that we just found, and the truths that we found are things like children are co-journeyers of faith with us. It is not our job to be 5 steps ahead saying, look at me. So many parents in England felt like what their job was to produce a model of Christianity for their children to follow. My job is to model Christianity. And that means showing that it can be joyful and it can be good and we like going to church and doing all the positive stuff. And I'm like, that is not what your child needs. What your child needs to see is an authentic life with God lived out in front of them in real time. That's what they need. They need the ups and downs. They need to know how they cope when you get a bad medical diagnosis and you don't know what's next. They really, really need to know that. Because if you only say God is for happy times, most of life is not going to be happy times. They need to see what you do when you feel dry or when you're bored at church. Or that's where you say, I'm bored at church, but I go because it's really important that I love people and that people love me and that I'm not hiding away and being on my own. And so I go, whether or not I think the sermon is interesting, because God always talks to me there and I always feel loved and I'm required to love other people and it makes a massive difference in my life. That's why I go. You tell that to a 14-year-old, it makes them see something differently. And so I'm saying to them, the truth that parents need to hear in the culture that I'm in is, it's not about being perfect, it's about being authentic. And they need to hear that it's not about the programs they attend, but it's about the people that they're a part of. And I have all of these things that I tell parents over and over and over again. And you will find, as you minister, key truths that they need to hear. Even from how we talk from the front, welcome everybody, and when it's time for the kids to go to children's ministry, do we say, we have this fantastic children's ministry that's wonderful, that helps kids meet and know God in fantastic ways, why don't we dismiss them to those groups? Or do we say, we love what you're doing at home with your children and how you walk alongside them every day to help them meet and know God, and we feel privileged that we get to be a small part of the great things that God is doing in their lives. We have children's ministry where people can gather together and talk about what's going on in their lives, and we can do a little bit of input, but that's just a small thing that we can do. The big thing that we do is support you, parents and carers and grandparents and the whole thing. So let's pray for the kids as they go. Can you see it's the same thing? It sets it up, but it sets a whole different tone for how we see ourselves and how we see you. Those little things, what do we drip feed in what we write and what we say that tells parents we see you, we know you, we appreciate you, we're for you, we're behind you, we got you, and give them a vision for what is possible for kids. We run Parenting for Faith courses, and we've had people come off the streets because they were cold and come into a Parenting for Faith course. And the more we talk about what God has on offer for kids and how you can help them, we've had entire families become Christians and get discipled from just walking off the street, because we weren't saying, hey, parents, you need to repent of your sins. We were saying, God has amazing stuff for your kid. And they're like, me too? We're like, yes, you too. And it goes completely around them because they want something for them. Speaking the truth is so powerful. So that's vision. The second thing that we need to give them is skills. We're not going to get through skills in this session, so I'm going to not rush and just bleed some of that into the next one, just so you know. It won't be clear cut or pretty, but it'll be equipping. The next thing that they need is skills. And that is really important because we can give them all the activities in the world, but if they're reliant on the activities, then they still don't feel confident to pioneer. There was a moment when you, as a senior leader, or you as a children's pastor, there's a moment where you begin to trust yourself and the skills that God gave you to handle anything. There are times where you have reached a moment where there's a death that happens, you're going to a pastoral at a hospital, and what used to terrify you, what used to make you so afraid, there's a person dying of cancer in a hospital, I have to go do the bedside thing. And that used to be so scary. And now you're like, it's sad, but I know how to do this. There's a moment where you move in confidence in your ministry that is so empowering. And I want parents to feel that. I want parents to go, whatever life is going to throw at my kid, I can help them find God in it. That's what I need to give them. And that's about giving them skills and experience. And so for me, I give them these five skills. I'm going to talk you through them very quickly. If you go to the Parenting for Faith website, there's a whole course on them. There's shorthand for them. There's little video. There's loads on it. So I'm just going to talk you through them, but don't feel like you need to. You'll never hear them again. And so this is what I teach them. You may disagree. You may think there are different skills that parents need. But I'm just going to tell you some of these so that you can see how you can begin to shape them. The first skill I give parents is creating windows. And creating windows is saying, you can look at my life. You are on your path, and I'm on my path, and I'm going to let you look in my life. I used to live in terraced housing, where all the houses are like in one big row, and they share a wall. Do you know those ones? And so the footprint, the blueprint of the house is the same, but people arrange them differently. And I like looking in windows. I'm not like up against the window. But if you leave your curtains open, then you're saying, feel free to look. My British husband very much disagrees, but I like walking because we're living, and I'm like, look, they chose to do like three couches. Like, that's interesting. Or they knocked the wall down. I told you we should walk the wall down. Look at that, look at that, look at that. And I love seeing how with the same shape of the outside, the inside is vastly different. And that is how we learn to reflect on our own lives is by looking in the windows of other people's. If you think about your faith journey, how you made lots of decisions of your life and how you live your life is often connected because you saw it in somebody else's. You heard a sermon and someone said, I wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning, and you went, I'm not going to do that. But maybe I'll wake up 10 minutes early and roll over and read my Bible. You saw something of someone else, and you decided to implement it. You heard how someone chats to God in the car, and you thought, oh, I'll try it. You looked into someone else's lives and did it. What happens with children is they almost never get that insight into the authentic lives of others. We present them a Bible story and how to do things, and they don't get to see how messy lives work. And so our job as parents and carers, and I would argue the church, is to be authentic, to open up our lives and say, this is what it looks like for me. It might not look like that for you, but this is what it looks like for me, and create windows into their lives of what it is. And I have to teach parents this because it is not natural to do. They may desperately want their kids to know it, but to say, I'm going to deliberately create a window to show what it looks like for me is a vulnerable place to be. One of my favorite stories of this was a parent who had toddlers and was just struggling. You know, if you've ever had two toddlers, you know when you're just like past tired, you're now just barely functioning. And she was in a car and she was just like, I'm really tired. So she told the kids they were going swimming. And she said, I'm going to just turn on my music. And I just need a hug from God right now. I just need a hug from Jesus. And so I'm gonna put my head on the steering wheel, and I'm just gonna have a little cry, and Jesus is gonna hug me, and then we'll go to swimming. And the kids were like, okay. So she just turns it on, just leans forward, just listens to a worship song. It's just like, and she just wipes off. She's like, oh, thank you so much. I really needed that hug from God. I feel better. Let's go to swimming. And they were like, swimming. And she was telling me this on Sunday. And she was like, well, So this is how we got to that point. I was on duty in the threes and fours room, and it was one of those, I was trying to recover from one of those times where I was teaching the resurrection of Jesus, and all the kids were not responding very well, and I couldn't figure out why they weren't responding well until I realized, well, another leader came up and told me that I failed to say that they were alive again. So they just thought that Jesus was making zombies, and that... They came alive again, and Lazarus was alive, not just a dead body, like, lurching out of the thing. We're all learning. Anyways, the kid was upset, don't know why, and sort of said, what? And I said, I'm upset right now, and I'm very angry, and I'm going to go into the corner, and Jesus is going to hug me, and walked over to the corner and calmed down and turned around and said, I needed that hug from Jesus, and walked out. At which point, all the kids go, there's a hug corner? What's the... Now it's designated the hug corner, so I just have people walking over there all the time. At some point, there were like three kids in a corner just like breathing heavily, and they're coming out going, I got kissed, hugged by Jesus. And they... So I came out afterwards, I said, hey, your kid did this today. And she's like, I'm so sorry. I feel like such a failure. I know I should model for my kid that God is you know, brings us joy and makes us happy. And so she was like, I just couldn't. I just needed God right then. And I just wanted to explain to them so they wouldn't be scared. And I said, no. don't be scared. You taught your kid what to do when they're overwhelmed with God. That is powerful. And then they taught all these other kids. And now I have to teach all these other parents because now there's going to be a hug corner. And the thing... And now everybody has a hug corner. Parents are like, I like that. Now they have group hug times. And it was just this whole thing. But as I watched those kids get older and then turn into teenagers, some of them turned into little tents in their room that they made little corners for them and God in their rooms. And one parent's supposed failure of being weak enabled a kid so far for a lifetime to seek God when they need comfort. Parents need to know that those are powerful. Create windows into your life. So people, parents read, now I'm going way too long on this, but like parents, if parents read their Bibles, they read it on their phones. When does a kid know that you actually read your Bible? Because it looks like scrolling Facebook to them. And so sometimes it's about putting an actual Bible on the table and flipping through it. One parent was flipping through a Bible. I said, did you actually read it? She's like, are you kidding? I had four kids. I was just flipping. I wanted there talking. I'm just spending time with Jesus because I want his words inside. And they're like, okay. And they're like touching her face, stuff she read. Within 3 weeks, she found all four of her children reading their Bible in varying different rooms of her house. Like, just do what you do. Don't perform anything besides what you actually want to do with your life. If you're somebody who loves liturgy and someone who loves lighting candles when you pray, do that in front of your kids. There is no perfect way. It is about you being authentically you with God and letting your kids see it, because then they can choose their authentic path, and we can respect that like they respect ours, and we're on a co-journeying path together. That's when those great questions come in of what do you think that I believe that you believe that I, you know, the things that Martin was saying. Some great conversations because we're alongside each other. So give them the skills of windows. I'm going to stop because it's time to stop. I have four more. Don't worry, we'll get there. I have four more tools. But even if you just took that one, even if you just took that one and gave it to parents, even if we stopped right here, I got hit by a bus playing in the snow, which will happen. Well, I'm not the bus, but the playing. Even if you walked away and came home and were IKEA to your families and spoke truth into them of who they were, and if you told them stories about children's faith so that they can become alive and wanting to do it, and you gave them that one tool of walking authentically in front of their kids, can you imagine how your children's ministry would change now? And we haven't even gotten to the other four tools and how to do this stuff. It's so vital that we begin to do this. And so with my 30 seconds of sound, I just want to encourage us even just to begin to think about that. When we come back together after all of the beautiful TED Talks and the FICA, which I'm looking very forward to experiencing, then we'll come back together and we'll talk about the other four tools that we can give parents. And we'll talk about how we give them those tools, whether it needs to be a course or a one-off thing. What are the options of how we skill them up and how we give them those skills? And then I don't even know if we'll get to talking about congregations. Who knows? But we'll just take our time and talk as long as we can. And then I can answer any questions as we do. But I hope you're feeling that you have some next steps, and that this is encouraging you, that you, just as you are, can really make a difference in lives of families.